Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. Hey, real quick, before we get started, I have a favor to ask. If you've listened to the podcast before, or if you enjoy the episode you're about to hear, please like the podcast on social media, and please leave a review. Having listeners like and review the podcast is the fastest way for it to grow and reach more people, and we really want to share our stories with the biggest audience possible. Thank you. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone Real Estate Team. That's right. We sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anyone looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Fort Mill, Rock Hill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
3, 2, 1, hit it.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast, this beautiful Friday afternoon, aka the house that Jones built.
Yep, aka the... House of Jones. That's what it is.
Yeah.
We go to this
so ridiculous that we can't come up. We can't remember
our own catchphrases.
Mm. That's all right.
Our own slogans.
116 episodes in.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Today we're here with entrepreneur and business owner Josh Delaney of Fab CBD Oil. Fab CBD is working to rid the world of disease, depression, anxiety, and obesity by providing cannabidiol products, including oils, chews, and creams. So, Josh Delaney, welcome to the Jones Zone, man. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
So, man, that was a quick, brief introduction of who you are and what Fab CBD oil is. But if you don't mind, share a little bit of your personal story, how you got into entrepreneurship, some of your background in professionalism, and then how you got into Fab CBD, man.
Sure. Can I just say, before you get started, I'm envious of that hair.
I got a beautiful head of hair.
Trying. It's starting to appear in my food. And, I'm on the verge of figuring out what to do with it. I can't cut it.
No, if you put a bun in, you'd look like Jon Snow a little bit.
It's a good length, the way it is now.
I get that already. I know, I don't watch the show, but I do get it. I said, if I tell people, I was like, look, if I could pull off, if someone would give me a sword and a shield, I would rock it every day.
There you go.
But, yeah, I can't do the man bun thing, so we'll see. But, yeah, so, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not very good at talking about myself, but, like, you know, legitimately, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 18. I'm 32 now. Started in sales, and you know, I don't have any like special story. I had a great home life.
Yeah. Where are you from, man?
Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I'm from Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
So I love it. I freaking love Wisconsin. I love Milwaukee. We're definitely gonna buy a home there and be able to go back there. Summerfest, summers in Wisconsin are the freaking best.
Why is that? Is it really hot?
It's interesting because I can't say that for all Midwest places, but that Milwaukee, Chicago, like cusp is, it feels like you're on the ocean. And I've lived on the ocean, so I can honestly say I've lived on the ocean and I've lived on Lake Michigan. And in terms of everyday living, it's the same thing. Like, it's the same freaking thing. It's just palm trees. That's the only difference.
Let me ask you this. Since you lived on Lake Michigan, can you, if you're on the coastline of the water, in the ocean, you can look and it's just sea. It's just water.
Yeah, same thing.
Same thing.
It's that big. That's what I'm saying. Same thing. You look across, you can't see nothing. You can't see nothing right. You can't see nothing left. It's 75, you know, 80 degrees all friggin' summer. And you get like the water,
yeah, good.
You get
it's the not
water
too hot.
Breeze. Yeah, you get the water breeze. Downtown is a residential like living area, right? So it's not like commercial. It's not commercialized. It's old school. It's breweries and it's mills and stuff that have all been converted. And it's, you know what I mean. So it's super cool and they've got all the festivals. So yeah, you feel like you get the big body of water. Oops, sale, big one. you get the big body of water. You get like a great live-in city. Everybody's chill. cheese and beer and, like, you know, rooftops and...
Tell you what, you sold me.
It's great, honestly.
You sold me. I want to go to Wisconsin.
However, so why do I live in Charlotte? Because there's, like, 18 feet of snow every winter.
Yeah.
And it basically goes winter, summer. So... that's why I can't stay there full time. But anyway, so yeah, so I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
You had a great childhood. You 18. I guess you didn't go to college. You got into sales.
No,
right?
I went to so again, yeah, great growing up, great childhood. Nothing like weird there. Parents were divorced, but like that wasn't, you know, it was what it was. Like I didn't talk to my dad for like 15 years, but like, you know what I'm saying? People's dads, you know, kick the crap out of them. Like my dad just disappeared, so like I had it easy, right? But I talk to him now, so it's all good. But yeah, normal childhood and great neighborhood, great high school, all that was great. I will say probably the only like relevant thing that is, you know, different about like my childhood story that would make sense of my life now is for no understood reason, I worked. Like I've been working since 12. Like I've legitimately been putting in 20 to, you know, 80 hours a week since 12, as weird as that sounds. When I was 14, I was like pretty much full-time at McDonald's, which is like, how do you do that in school? Like I got out of school at 2:30, I was at McDonald's by 3:30, and like I just asked to work till 10, and like I worked from 3:30 till 10 every night at McDonald's, you know, for no reason other than like, I don't know, like I want money. I don't know why, but I had that trait without any, you know, and my parents were like, sure, yeah, like, buy your own food. That's cool. You want a cell phone? Buy your own cell phone. That's cool.
That's awesome.
So that was like, so again, for no, like, nothing special, but that was that. So I knew that I had this thing to work. By the time I was 14, I was like, I was driving a forklift. Like, I was like, had like a real job at 14. And then by the time in high school, which was 15, you could apply for a work release program and you could like just you could do your exact amount of credits. And then you could like leave school at that time. So like I planned my like high school, literally my entire high school career, I had planned out to be done at 10:30 and just was like lobbing it that I would pass. So if I didn't pass, I would be short a credit and I'd have to like redo. So I was just hoping and praying, okay, I'm gonna get the exact amount of credits and I have to pass everything if I don't wanna go to school basically all through high school. So my entire high school career, I was out of school at 10:30. I was in the seat of a forklift by 11:30 and then got off of there by 5. And then I was at Hollister folding clothes until 10 at 15, you know, with getting rides, 16. So like, that's the only thing I could say that was probably not normal for like a childhood.
Yeah.
That like, I legit was like a boss worker since 12. Like, I put in hours and I don't know why. It was just because like I wanted a cell phone and my parents wouldn't buy me one. That was like all, you know, and for no like reason of like, oh, I had to leave the house. Or,
what age did your dad leave?
Probably like 7.
Oh, okay.
You know, like first or second grade. Nothing happened. Nothing bad.
Yeah.
You know, like just different. We were from different states. They're from Massachusetts, which like ties into my story now because I own a club up there. I own a gym up in Massachusetts. But they were from Massachusetts. My parents and their family, or my mom and them, were from Wisconsin. We lived in Massachusetts, moved back to Wisconsin to be near my mom's family. And then when they got divorced, my dad like went back to where his family was. And it just kind of was it just was like a fadeaway, you know, it was just kind of a fadeaway thing. You know, nothing crazy happened.
All right, so 18, what'd you do? What sales did you get into?
So I got recruited into a privately held long distance phone service provider, sales job, and like home phone service, and like recruiting position basically. So I was selling home phone service, long distance phone service, and beepers. Like at the end of it, beepers started coming. I had like 10 pagers to like meet quotas, and then that I never used and like never left the box. And then, at the very, very end of it is when you remember the Nokia, the first
big, I think I had that
Nokia phone that had, you could switch the backs and the fronts, you could switch the covers, and it was this big, and you could play Snake on it. It was the first popular Nokia phone. Everyone had it. Every single, you know, your families, they had 6 of them. Like, it was the only cell phone you could buy, basically, besides, like, a Nextel at the time. At the very tail end of it, we were selling those, and like that's when I kind of realized, like, okay, I can sell. Like, I hadn't done any sales, but that was my first deal where I met a dude, And he like told me how much he was making, and he was selling phone service, and I was like, seriously? He was like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, I could probably do that. Like,
if you could do it.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of those like cliche things, like, if you can do this, dude, yeah, I can do this. And me and that guy, I never beat that dude, the guy who like he crushed it, and I never pat, but we ended up becoming best friends and roommates and all that kind of
What's
stuff.
What's his name?
His name's Eric Folks. Unfortunately, he passed away last year at 33 years old. But like he taught me everything, and he was like, he literally interviewed me, sat me down, and I was like, all these yahoos out here, you know, are making a couple thousand bucks a month, you know, selling all this stuff. And they were like, yeah. I'm like, dude, I'm working 60 hours a week. Like, I gotta pay for everything. Like, I can totally do that. And he was like, all right, well, let's go. And he like invested in me and like paid for me. Like, he was like the big brother. He like took me to lunches, took me to dinners, you know, like really like invested in me. And he was only like 21. We crushed it. I mean, at his peak, he was at 20 years old, 21 years old. I think his like biggest check was like 16 grand in a month. Damn. You know, at 20 years old, like not knowing what we were doing.
Yeah.
And the guys that were running like the office, the older guys were like, you know, they all hated it. They hated us, you know.
These young punks.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think my biggest month was like 8, you know, like at that. And that, but like, yeah, we were kids, not having any clue what was going on or what the deal was, and buying cars and clothes, and we lost it all. It was terrible, terrible decisions, you know. But like, yeah, it was nuts. And that was the first deal.
This reminds me of like Boiler Room. It was something.
That was my initiation, was to watch Boiler Room.
Okay.
That was my initiation to say, came over to their house the first time, their apartment, and Boiler Room's playing. I'm like, what's this? And they're like, oh, you gotta watch this movie. We gotta watch this. And at the end
so
of it,
funny.
Yeah, that was like my first experience in like hardcore sales. And I was like, oh yeah, this is it. Like, this is
go to pour some coffee. Yeah. And they're like, coffee's for closers.
Yeah,
basically. Newbie. Back to Lane. Yeah.
And I was in college at like a 2-year university in Wisconsin at the time, doing all the jobs. Thought I was going to be a graphic designer, and but wasn't like in classes for that yet. And it was like 3 months into the first semester that like I hit like a big check. I hit like 2 grand in a week, and I was like, okay. Like, I literally just paid for, you know, my semester in 1 week.
That's crazy, man.
Why on earth would I come back to class? And I literally never showed up again, like, 4 days before first semester, like, finals. So
what did you do after this? After the phone stuff? I know you mentioned owning some gyms and stuff. So,
I mean, I did sales, independent contracting sales work for a multitude of companies. And I stayed in the telecom space. Like some telecom startups, like device startups, where we like raised money. So I was like independent sales, and then got into like building sales programs, building like inbound, outbound, like sales programs for like actual companies. And then got into like devices. So we would have, like, I had a guy call me and said, hey, you got to come out and see this phone that this kid invented, you know, we're raising money. So I went out to LA for 5 years. And we raised a couple million bucks to build like a new phone it didn't take off when I was a part of it. And then like it's recently taken off now, like 8 years later. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of crazy. But so did that. And then once that kind of fell off, which was 6-7 years ago, I like dove head first into like nutraceuticals and like the health. And I was already fit. I'd like started that at like 18, 19, like started like, all right, I want to be shredded all the time. And started figuring that out. But then once the phone stuff was done, I was like, all right, I'm going to get into like health and wellness and nutrition and nutraceuticals and ingredients and like how this stuff really works. And I really found a knack like in the the individual ingredient level, like almost like cellular level type stuff. I got really fascinated by. So fast forward for all that. I'd done that for a handful of years, formulated a couple of my own product lines, sold them to other companies.
So when you say formulated, are you in the lab with the beakers and the goggles and
so
the
like,
lab coat?
So not in the sense of like I built a product myself, but yes, like I was traveling to manufacturing facilities and putting on the white cap and the white coat and like watching the machines make my stuff and saying, hey, is that my ingredient? You know, is this my ingredient? And you know what I mean? Watching them cut stuff open and like watching them build my products and then watching them put them into bottles and cap them up and then giving it to me and saying, here's your product, Josh. So yes, I did all that. But no, I was physically not in there, you know, manufacturers. But yes, like literally saying, here's my ingredients, here's my stuff, I'll meet you, I'll fly out, and, you know, I want to watch it happen and watch it be made, and I want the first bottle to, you know, run off the machine into my hand, so to speak. And the first time I did that, like, hooked me into, like, manufacturing and, like, watching the process and knowing, like, how each ingredient is touched and, you know, built and like, just people don't know, like, what they're, you know, they got no clue what, you know, what they're taking and what they're doing. I mean, it's like, people have no idea that a lot of the products they buy off, like, Whole Foods shelf are being, like, handmade in, like, a warehouse. You know what I mean? Like, some of them are good, some of them are, like, super clean, some of them are not. Like, some of them...
Well, especially in the supplement industry. Yeah. Because you don't know where
it's not regulated that well. And so you really got to, like, check on, like, what kind of facilities you're using. So I got really, like, into that side of it.
Well, there's that whole drop shipping business as well.
Yeah, I mean, people don't even know. They get a box from China.
Exactly. Even the people who are selling it, they may not even know what's in it. I mean, it's this whole drop shipping concept that...
Totally. It's getting harder and harder and harder to, like, know what you're buying. But, yeah. So I did that for the last handful of years and was online for all of it. Living on the beach in L.A. for, like, 5 years. Like,
tough 5 years.
Yeah, working online. And, you know, in and out of, like, deals, like, kind of any entrepreneur, I mean, had stuff totally crash and burn and was, like, sleeping on couches, and had stuff, like, pop really big and, like, you're up on your feet and running again, and the typical, like, entrepreneurial, you know, up and down story. And then had some stuff go really well, like, a few years ago for, like, a few years straight, and was online all day long and was like, look, if I'm not online, I'm in the gym. So I make money all day that I'm online. I don't make money when I'm in the gym. You know, I got to figure out how to make money when I'm in the gym. And so that was where, you know, buying gyms and getting into that. And I'd spent a lot of time in, like, warehouse gyms with a good buddy of mine from high school that built a really cool warehouse gym. And we were going to make more of those. He didn't want to. And I was like, look, I don't want to be a trainer. I want to be a gym owner. Right. And Anytime Fitness was, like, climbing the ranks at that time. And so I jumped on that train and, like, ended up, like, finding clubs around the country and got one in Alabama and then got one in Massachusetts, and they're great businesses and they make great money and they're, you know, they're fantastic. And I love being able to, like, go there and connect with people one-on-one, even though, like, you don't make money on it sitting down with someone and having, like, a consult and talking about their problems and all that. But, like, I love that. Like, I think that's great. Like, without that, like, where are we going? You know what I mean? Like, if we all just stop talking and just continue to sell more, it's like, where are we really headed?
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
so you enjoy the process of getting to know the person's, what their plans are, what their goals are.
And I'm by no means, like, some, you know what I mean? Like, I'm by no means, like, abnormal in the sense of, like, oh, yeah, man, I freaking love sitting there for 3 hours listening to somebody gripe and moan about, you know, why they can't stop drinking 80 Diet Cokes a day and going to McDonald's. Like, by no means do I enjoy that. But, like, yeah, like, people that really care and, like, are really wanting to do something and, like, are really ready to take advice or, like, take coaching and, like, care about themselves. Like, yeah, I freaking love that.
A manager. I don't know if I told you, but I was a manager of an Anytime for about four and a half years or so. And that, yeah, man, people come in and you can tell there's a small percentage of people that come in that they're there and they want that lifestyle change. Yep. A lot of people come in, they go through a phase or whatever, they're working out, they join, you know, 6 months, you know, four months later, you don't see them again, really. But there are those few that come in with the mindset of something's got to change and I'm going to change it. Mm-hmm. And those people are they were fun to watch.
Totally.
Yeah. So you watched, for example, this one guy. I'm not going to give his name or anything, but he came in really quiet, shy, didn't know anybody. He would, like, I mean, he would walk around, you know. But I got to befriend him and get to know his story a little bit. Man, like a month or two later, he's like Mr. Popularity in the gym, going around, his confidence skyrocketed.
It's cool to watch that.
Yeah, totally.
It's cool to, like, watch it and see it and then, like, just know that, like, you flip someone,
right?
You know, like anything else, right? It's like a sale without, you know, monetary value, but, like, you sold somebody to live better.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's the tougher conversations are with the ones that don't want to hear it and struggle. And I have those every single day, and I try to flip as much as I can. You know, I try to get them to make changes, and I still enjoy it. But, like, yeah, sometimes it's like, look, you know, a very, very, very wealthy mentor of mine, who's no longer wealthy, no longer a mentor, but which is like an ironic thing, but once told me something I'll never, ever, ever forget. And it literally will probably be the best advice that like I've ever been given in terms of like sales and just people in general. It's always the best idea when it's their idea.
So meaning?
Meaning everything.
It's got to come like, from their heart. It's got to be their choice to make a change.
Yeah. Apply that to every single conversation you have, every single sales meeting you have, every single like world decision, every conversation with my wife, every conversation with my friends, every conversation with my business partners. If I agree with you, you know, great. If I disagree with you, I'm only going to have success if I can somehow figure out a way to get you to agree with me, but it has to be your idea. It has to make sense to you. It has to come from your heart. It has to be. But if you don't get people to that point, think about every, you know, transaction we ever have. It's because they just didn't think it was a good idea.
Right.
But if we're smart people, we're only selling things that are good ideas.
Right.
Right? Like if we're genuine, real people, we're only selling things that are good ideas. So if there's a disconnect, it's because you don't agree with me this is a good idea, but I only do good ideas. So I've got to spin this in some way, shape, or form to get you to understand this is a good idea.
And that person has to come to that realization naturally.
And we try to sell people that rather than get them to figure it out themselves. Yeah. And
it's part of persuasion, I think. You know, you're persuading them to... You're persuading them to naturally themselves come to that conclusion, that what you're offering is the solution that I need.
And so, in my opinion, it's like as simple as just asking more questions. We, you know, like in the terms of us talking through a podcast, it's like we need to do the opposite. We need to just shut up.
Right.
And just listen, ask, shut up and listen, ask, shut up and listen. And if you ask the right questions, right, in the right time, which takes skill and practice and strategy, right? It has to be methodical. But if you ask the right questions at the right times, they will get to the conclusion you want them to get to, and not because you sold them, but because it is a good idea. Right. I just had to phrase it for you from whatever way you were grown up.
They may have certain false beliefs about certain... Exactly. Yeah, you know, so... All right, let's move on. Let's talk about this Fab CBD.
Yeah.
So for the people listening, you know, they may not know CBD oil, what it is. If they do know what it is, they may be like, is that even legal? So walk us through, like, what is Fab CBD? What is CBD? And
talk to us like a 5-year-old. What is CBD?
Sure.
And what
is Chris is actually is like on this? A 5-year-old level as far as intelligence. So.
So the like totally layman's terms is anything that you would take like a Tylenol or an Advil or like a pain, you know, a low grade like pain reliever or opioid for, cannabidiol can almost mimic, you know, similar reactions and similar like relief, right? I'm being very like choosy in words, right, from legality standpoint, but that's like in layman's terms, right? So it's an all natural, little to no side effect, very easy to absorb and slip into the bloodstream. Compound and like ingredient and molecule that, you know, does very crazy things in the body. And, you know, there's all sorts of different ways to take it, but it is one single ingredient. It is one single, as they call cannabinoid in the cannabis family, that does all this. So it, no matter how you take it or what application you use it in. So we have chews and topical and oils, it does the same thing. You can just put it into different applications to do the same thing in a different way. So I can take the oil drops to relieve myself from, you know, some pain in my knee, you know, maybe headaches or, you know, inflammation in, you know, I use it for like arthritis in my hands and fingers. And I also could rub a topical on it and get a similar, you know, relief, but the topical is more like spot treatment. But it's doing the same thing. It's just doing it from a different like angle. Same thing with the chews, same CBD. You get the same relief and effect from it. However, you know, the chew is just a tastier, you know, a little bit more sugary treat. Our chews are only like 5 grams of sugar and they're vegan, all natural, organic, that kind of stuff. But it's just some people like chewing and sucking on a chew. Some people like just doing the drops. With the chews, they digest a little bit lower, but same ingredient. So it comes from industrial hemp. So, you know, it's a naturally grown, we do organically grown in Colorado, so there's no chemicals, there's no pesticides or anything, and they extract the oils from it by basically like crushing the plants and extracting the oil, you know, from the plants, and you know, we make the products out of that. But layman's terms, easy way to explain it is an all natural pain reliever, you know, that could be used in multiple ways.
So certain people may be listening, they may honestly not know, well, does this get you high? Yeah. Like, it does.
No. That's what a lot of people think. Yeah, a lot of people think and ask. So the easy way to answer that is, you know, and we did a very like specific job on not getting into the like cannabis market, so to speak, in terms of like our branding. And that was very on purpose because we talked to a lot of retailers and things like that. And I wanted to build a brand that was based on community and health and wellness and nutrition, not corner ourselves into like the cannabis community, right? So we left out, you know, any of the pot leaves and all that kind of stuff. So to give people some clarity, cannabis is a plant family, okay? And within that plant family, you have a few different types of hemp that are non-psychoactive plants. So they have low THC and high CBD, okay? And I'll explain that in a second too. And then you have a handful of psychoactive plants, which we refer to as like marijuana, which isn't even like the technical term. There's a whole nother story behind that. But we have psychoactive cannabis plants that are high THC, low CBD, right? So there's the easy difference. Our products come from the cannabis family, but from the non-psychoactive hemp plants, which grow differently. You know, they grow themselves and produce themselves as plants with a different like makeup, with a different compound makeup. So so ours is hemp. It is federally legal to sell all over the world. I mean, there are some countries that you're not able to sell into. I think we got to be like 30 or 40 countries that we sell to. But there are some that that don't allow customs and all that kind of stuff. In the United States, it is federally legal to sell online to any state and ship to any state. There are a handful of states that do not allow you to have possession, even of the hemp, even of the non-psychoactive, even of our exact product. There are some states that you could potentially get like a misdemeanor ticket for having this in possession, wow, even though it is hemp. You cannot get high.
What a ridiculous law that is.
You can't do anything with it, but it's really because they're just not caught up with the like agricultural like development of the plants yet. It sounds crazy, but it's really just kind of older school politicians in play. I get it, right? I'm not mad at you. I get it. Like, if you'd let it go for a while, like then people are gonna be mad at you. But like, I get that you guys just don't know yet. Like, it's brand new. Like, it's crazy. This is like when we figured out like how to like produce animals different, you know what I mean? Like this is like legit going to be a crazy, it's already crazy, like green rush, so to speak, right? Like this is like when we discovered freaking gold. It's nuts. Like the behind the scenes of all this is just, it's wild, bro. It's uncontrollable. How fast, how many people, like the money, like it's just stupid. Like I don't even believe it sometimes, right? So I get the reservations as just a normal human, right? It's like, right, look, guys, I get it. Like, I understand you're freaking 76 years old,
yeah,
right? You're at a table with a bunch of other 76-year-old politicians. Yeah. You don't understand the difference yet. Possibly your state doesn't have, like, the agricultural backing to, like, someone hasn't come and broken it down yet. And that laws take a time to, like, figure out. I get that, right? Whatever. So we can sell to any state. There are a handful of states that like you could get in trouble for having.
South Carolina, one of them?
No, South Carolina is already growing hemp. South Carolina and North Carolina are like growing hemp and handing out permits and licenses right now. Yeah. I don't know much more details than that, but yeah, no. South Carolina, North Carolina.
Where do you go to? Where would somebody go to get more information about that?
There are sites and Facebook groups, very like public, that you could do South Carolina industrial hemp, you know, licensing, North Carolina, like hemp growers. I mean, it's very like easy to find. There's been groups to go to and stuff. I'm just not one to like go to that kind of stuff. It doesn't do me any favor. You know, it doesn't do nothing for me.
Right.
There's nothing I could get from it. Maybe like find a manufacturer, but it's too new to have like manufacturing. Like it's one thing to get the farms up and running, but then they need extraction facilities. They need manufacturing facilities. So it's not there yet, you know, here, but it's coming. It's coming quickly. So, So it is legal, you know, and confusion comes from everything we just explained. But there, you can also buy this exact same product. It looks the same. It tastes the same. You know, it comes in the same type of packaging, but it is high THC, low CBD. So you can get high off of it. And you can buy those in California. You know what I mean? You can get those in the legal state. So we spend a lot of time people coming in saying, hey, is this cannabis oil or hemp oil, right? And that's kind of where now the gray area starts. Well, everything's cannabis first. Then we have hemp and we have marijuana. The marijuana ones are psychoactive. The hemp ones are non-psychoactive. We're the hemp ones. So the federal law is that your formula has to be under 0.3% THC. So, you know, we cover those guidelines by getting third-party lab testings and all that kind of stuff. We use a 75-year-old FDA-approved food and beverage facility that recently took on cannabis and, like, CBD products to do testing. So, like, we like, went, like, legit routes to make sure everything was cool. So there are guidelines and there are things, but, you know, it's not, like, heavily policed yet. You know, like, I police myself, and we're very regulated as, like, a company, but, you know, it's not policed yet. They can't keep up. Like, the government legit can't keep up with the amount of, like, cease and assists and people that are doing things the wrong way. I mean, it's the wild, wild west. I mean, I've had people send me samples, and we've sent them to get tested, and my, like, lab rats call back and go, Josh, you're not gonna believe this. I'm like, what? And they're like, this is MCT oil and water. It's like, what? Like, no joke. There's water in this product.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, it's you know, it's a crazy.
So these people sending you these samples, are they trying to?
Yeah, you got people like trying to start their own like brokerages. Okay. You know, like it, like any other industry, right? Like you could, you know, in the protein market that I was in for a while, you know, you have the actual farms, similar situation. You have the farms that got the animals and the agriculture, and then you have the manufacturing facilities that are then producing like the cheese, right? And then they're producing the whey, and then you have your protein product. You know, so you could buy those protein products and that whey from the actual like dairy manufacturers, or you find a middleman. And the middleman says, hey, I got manufacturing, I got this, I can sell you that, and throws a dollar, like any other business, right? Throws a buck on it and, you know, charges you for it. There's a lot of that happening. There's a lot of middlemaning going on, and people don't know the difference, and they don't know, like, where the farm's at. They don't know where the bottling is happening. And really all it is, you know, a couple of guys, just throwing a buck on top of things and having it made somewhere else and then just switching the addresses. So It's crazy. So everything's public with us. We share everything but the names of our manufacturers and our farm. Like, that's it. Like, I'll tell you anything and everything you want to know, for the fact that I'm like overly honest, and like, why not? Like, who cares? Right. The only thing I don't say is the name and address of where our product is grown and where it's manufactured. But I show you tests.
Yeah.
I show you lab reports. You know, I show you everything. So we're very like transparent, thorough, kind of like, you know, you want to compete with us, that's cool, but like, I promise you won't share as much info as we will, so let them decide, kind of let the people decide what they want, right? We don't care, there's 400 million people around, right?
So somebody who has a lot of anxiety, they would benefit from like a CBD oil, they would just consume the drops?
Yeah, a ton of our, half of our customers are anxiety, and you know, I would never like label myself as like having anxiety, but I do, you know, but I would never like, I'd never said that or like,
well, I think everybody has
certain anxiety. Yeah, everybody's got it.
But there's a difference between,
totally.
Yeah.
I would probably describe myself as very anxious.
Okay.
Like, I'm super restless all day long. I got a standing desk. I pace, you know, I've had neighbors complain that they can hear me in the parking lot. Like, I'm that guy. And, you know, it's helped me tremendously just like chill out. And and most of our customers, it's the same thing. And probably the biggest review that we get, the most common thing is that they take it. It's very fast acting because it's very concentrated. And so like 10 to 15 minutes, not for everybody, but 10 to 15 minutes, you could legitimately like relieve a headache, wow. You know, like relieve, like you get to sleep. And there's no, this is what people, a lot, we've had some people that are like, I don't feel anything. And that's a hard one to explain to people, that you don't feel anything. Just like if I gave you a Tylenol, do you feel anything? No, you don't, right? It's not caffeine. Mm. It's not anything that you feel. I give you a protein shake. Do you feel anything? I give you branched chain amino acids. Do you feel anything? No, but you just know when you wake up the next day, my muscles are harder. I slept better. Like, I feel that, but I don't feel the product. It's a similar thing. So the probably the most common like verbiage people use is like, you know, I took it and I didn't feel anything, but then like things were just gone, right? You know, some of them like they were a little bit gone, some of them they were completely gone. You know, all the way to like, I got a letter last night and I like literally reached out to this girl and said, we're gonna be friends. You know, here's my personal information. Like, call me if you need me. But she literally emailed in saying like, she had attempted suicide last month. You know, she has overdosed on multiple opioids. Like, she's tried a couple times. You know, sent yesterday saying, look, CBD was like my last ditch effort because I can't get addicted to anything anymore. And like, I had suicidal thoughts yesterday. Like, it's just a normal thing for me. And like, I took the CBD last night and like, I slept really good. And like, this morning, honest to God, I'm not saying I'm like fixed or I'm not saying that like I'm different, but I didn't have the thoughts of like being suicidal. And there's a ton of reasons why that is, like in the chemistry of our brains and how CBD reacts with our receptors and like what it does to our gut health. Like, well, there's a lot of things that go on where I can't say like, oh yeah, this chick took CBD for a day and like doesn't want to commit suicide anymore. But I can say that yes, your brain chemistry and like what happened in your body with a couple of servings of CBD is definitely different than what you've been doing with opioids that have a slew of domino effects that have been messing with you. So, you know, we get stuff like that. That's like, it's crazy. It's awesome. You know what I mean? It's cool. But
can you take it as part of your daily routine?
Or totally. Yeah. So, like anything else, it's got a cumulative effect, right? So, like any supplement, you don't take anything every day. You just don't. Your body gets used to it. It builds up, and then it's no longer effective. So, like any other supplement or, you know, pharmaceutical drug or whatever, you know, you take a Tylenol day, then three Tylenols a day, then four Tylenols a day. You know what I mean? You're not feeling nothing. Same thing. So we do a lot of coaching we have a private Facebook group where we like coach people, like trainers basically. Very like, look, we're not doctors, we're not physicians. You have to ask your physician. You need to go get checked out. You need to do all these things. But we teach people how to scale this and find their sweet spot, and then how to like regiment it, you know, kind of depending on how they feel and stuff. So, you know, we kind of tell people to do, you know, every other day, 4 or 5 days a week, and chill for a day or two.
Okay.
So.
Very cool, man. What kind of research are they doing in terms of this? I mean, is this something that the autism world is going to be using? Is this something, what's the future of this stuff?
Yeah. The autism community is already like in deep. Like right now I'm talking to some of our customers plus like some other like charity owners and like Facebook group owners for like MS and fibromyalgia. But yeah, I mean, what this stuff does is, you know, we've got like the crazy part about this is we have in our body what's called the endocannabinoid system. And, you know, being like a health and fitness person, it was fascinating to me to learn about this system so late in my life, where it's almost like if I were to tell you right now that you have an immune system. You just learned that now. And you're like, that's kind of a big deal. Like, it's not the only system I have. It doesn't control our entire body. But, like, that's kind of a big deal. Like, this whole immune system thing. Like, yeah. It does a lot of stuff. And a lot of important stuff. That's what the endocannabinoid system is. And nobody knows about it. And nobody really knows what it does and how it like triggers things in our body, but it's a big freaking deal. Like, it's huge. And that endocannabinoid system controls certain receptors, and we have receptors in our body called cannabinoid receptors, CB1 receptors, CB2 receptors, along with a whole bunch of other receptors. And the easy way to explain this is they're basically like light switches in our body. And these light switches are turning on and off all sorts of functions in our body, and the production of hormones and the decrease in hormones and like all sorts of stuff that, like, again, it's not the only system, but it's big. I mean, it does a lot of crap. Like, it's crazy. And so that was the beginning of the obsession of like, holy cow, like, this isn't even about like marijuana anymore, right? This isn't about like the only marijuana story we all know, in the sense of like, let's go legalize pot. Everybody should smoke pot. Honest to God, I don't think everybody should smoke pot. I smoked pot for a long time. You shouldn't smoke a lot of pot. I don't think so. I don't think that's a good thing. I'm watching a lot of these videos and groups, and people are like, you know, it's like becoming cool to like be high all the time. I don't know how that's like changing. Like, it's not cool to be a stoner all day long, and nor is that productive, right? So you know, I'm very much fascinated by what the individual compounds and at a cellular level what some of this stuff does from like a health standpoint, not from a, hey, everybody should just be able to like smoke this plant, like whatever.
Jeff Spicoli over here.
Yeah, like whatever. Like, yeah. So this endocannabinoid system and these receptors we have in our body, I mean, they're controlling our, you know, they're helping with digestive system, immune system, you know, like brain functionality. I mean, cognitive functionality. I mean, it's crazy where, you know, serotonin, one of our hormones, it does so much for us in allowing us to create more dopamine and do so many things in the body that allow us to just be happy, healthy, everyday people, right? And 75 to 85% of our serotonin's in the gut, okay? And so I'm a firm believer that, like...
Is it really?
Yes.
Did not know that.
Serotonin is created and, like, stored in the gut, and it fires from the gut to the brain. People think everything we do, like, chemically and everything we do personally fires from the brain to the body. That's not true. Our brain's this big. Our body's this big. Like, it's the opposite of what we think. And so, you know, everything essentially is, like, inflammation. You know, that's really, like, the enemy. And we want to figure out a way to decrease that inflammation, get all of the receptors in our body to fire better, fire properly, allow our hormones to be optimized, allow them to work more efficiently. And they can't work efficiently when inflammation's high, when our light switches in our body are not turning on when they're supposed to, right? It's like, how do we have disease like ALS, you know, or MS, or, you know, like Crohn's, where we're all there, right? But stuff just ain't working, right? Like, how crazy is that to have one of those diseases where you are 100% with it, but your body is not working, right? And that's because, you know, again, how I explain is the light switches are off and your body cannot power up to flip it back on, right? That's like how I explain it. And inflammation is a reason to keep that switch down. Receptors not firing properly in multiple systems in the body keeps that switch down. Dopamine levels, you know, hormones not being optimized keeps that switch down. And a lot of that, most of it comes from the gut. So my obsession and my wife's obsession and kind of our whole thing is like, how do we fix the gut? Health, nutrition, fitness, activity, you know, plant-based diets, you know, things like that. That's where we can start. I don't need to figure out how to fix 100% of us. I'm not a doctor. But 75, 85% of what's wrong with us is in the gut. And I can help a lot of people by figuring, you know, teaching people how to fix that 75, 80% that just comes from the gut. Diet, health, nutrition, exercise, activity, decrease inflammation, put a few more plants in your life. You know what I mean? Like, that's not that big a deal. We can do a lot of damage in the world. You know, we can do a lot of good in the world, right? Essentially, by just kind of advocating that. So this CBD being an all natural, you know, little to no side effects. Like, the only side effects is maybe, you know, sleep a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like, there's really nothing bad that can happen from chugging CBD. You know, that's like the benefit of what we got here. And I think that's where, you know, that's where I want to see the direction of the cannabis culture going. A little bit less like, let's just all like be happy and get high. Like, that's, you know what I mean? No one's going to get anywhere doing that.
Right.
Let's all be happy and get healthy. For those of you that want to like do the other like cannabis culture stuff, have at it. Like, who cares? Like, you're not bothering nobody.
Yeah.
No, that's where, again, that's kind of answers like everything in the sense. Misconception,
yeah, totally.
What it does, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's like the nutshell of what I think this can do and where it can go and like where the legalities are going to start to soften up because you just can't deny the results and, you know, what it's doing in people's body that like you just can't deny. You know what I mean? Really, the only benefit of like the THC side of it from like a legal thing is CBD doesn't what we call bind to receptors. Right, it kind of how I described it, like blocks and tackles bad things from it. It allows good things to bind to receptors, right? So there's kind of the like the block, right? So it's like it'll block and let another good at a cellular level, another good like ingredient compound molecule bind to a cell.
So it's like an offensive lineman,
yes,
blocking for
someone to get to the end zone, and the end zone is getting a good to getting healthy cells to connect. And receptors to allow to flip that switch on. So if you know our receptors, our CB1 and CB2 receptors are trying to, you know, like are like the end zone, right? Kind of it's if I'm explaining that right. And we're trying to allow good stuff to get to that end zone. So CBD blocks on that sense. THC binds to those receptors perfectly. Like if you were to see, if you were to be in a lab and they were to show you what it looks like when THC binds to these receptors, it literally fits so perfectly that it is mind-boggling that, like, it's literally like the exact parking spot. Mm. And you're going, how is that even possible? Well, the endocannabinoid system only accepts certain cannabinoids, and THC is the one that does it, and that's how we kill cancer cells. CBD doesn't kill cancer cells. It decreases inflammation. THC literally kills cancer cells because it can fit right into the parking spot of our receptors to allow that light switch to stay on all the time. So in that sense, CBD, when paired with THC, which is why we use what's called full spectrum, meaning we have trace amounts of THC in there, just under the legal limit.
Yeah.
Why do we do that rather than doing what people call like an isolate where it's just CBD? Because CBD works better with other cannabinoids, right, at the right amounts, so that it can block and tackle and still let things get into that end zone to mm-hmm. have like a synergistic effect. The best way to describe cannabinoids and like the idea of that is through proteins and amino acids from a fitness sense.
Yeah.
So you can buy glutamine by itself, mm-hmm. L-leucine by itself, valine by itself.
Put them all together in the BCAAs.
Protein isolate by itself. Yeah. Our essential amino acids. You can buy every single one of those by themselves. And the fitness community makes money selling you each one of those things by themselves for $30 a piece. And before you know it, you got $200 worth of amino acids. When if someone smart just showed you some simple facts of tests and studies to say, look, this stuff works good by itself, but you could put it all together in the same thing and it actually works 10 times better. Same idea. Yeah. Cannabinoids can be effective by themselves, but work 10 times better with just the right amounts of the other cannabinoids. So,
such as THC.
Exactly.
But THC, it has to be under that legal limit.
Exactly, exactly. So there's like 70 to 100 cannabinoids out there. Similar to like amino acids, there's like 95 amino acids out there. Yeah. Same idea. So you've got a whole bunch of cannabinoids. There's only, you know, a couple handfuls that are effective. We take those couple of handfuls and, you know, we get them to kind of, you know, work out how we want them to. And that's how we've created our product under all the guidelines, under all like the legal limits, and to have like that synergistic effect and not, you know, not cross any lines.
That's awesome. So, yeah, that's great. Well, dude, man, we got to wrap up.
Yeah, but, that was a lot.
You're intense, man. I love your passion, dude. Thanks, you know, thanks. I mean, it's contagious. The hour flew by. We're just like staring at you, listening to. But take the last minute, just remind everybody who you are, what the name of your company is,
and how they can order it.
How they can find you and get a hold of your products.
Yeah, so here's what I'll do. So fabcbd.com is where you can go to order. And I'll do this right now. What should we give your viewers? I'll make a discount code right now. Everybody can go to fabcbd.com and use JonesZone.
JonesZone.
What is 25% good?
That's perfect.
That's perfect, man. That's very generous.
So if you guys go to fabcbd.com and use the code JonesZone in the checkout area, let's see, you guys will get 25% off. That is now live. And you know, if you guys want to shoot me on Facebook or like the customer email or phone number, I respond to everything. You'll either get myself, Big Rob, or Emily. But I'm always watching. So I love to chat with people. So don't feel like you need to buy something right away. If you want to chat, we got a private group. I'm very like, look, check us out. Join the group. See what other customers are saying. Talk to me for a day, a week, a month. I don't care. And when you're ready, you know, do your thing. Buy something that you want to buy. So.
Awesome.
But yeah, man, I appreciate you guys having Josh, me on, and thanks for letting me.
Thanks for coming on, Jonzo, man. Good to have you.
Appreciate you, bro. No doubt,
dude.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jonzone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.